Romans chapter 2 is where we're going to begin this morning in just a second. Romans chapter 2. I just wanted to mention one more time too, if you forgot to put in your Monday night for the MasterCard, please do so. What an incredible opportunity for us to reach out to the community and to other members in need, and as we have people who spend time riding cars and praying for those who are in the congregation and family members that we have that are in need of things, and we get to share a meal together and enjoy fellowship, and I hope that you'll take an opportunity to be a part of that today, or Monday, tomorrow night. All right, Romans chapter 2. And glory, honor, and peace is what we're talking about today. I guess I should let you see my first slide, right? I don't know why here lately it seems like I've become electronically dyslexic. I just have a tendency to skip things, and Teflon brain syndrome, right? I don't know exactly what it is. I start speaking and I get carried away and nothing sticks electronically. It just slides right off. So I'm going to try to keep up with the slides, and as always, you know, we try to look ahead. We try to do things ahead, and I did all these slides on Monday, and that's not the way my mind works. And so I may have a scripture or two that I may not have up here, but most of them will be there as we work forward together. Glory and honor and peace. Looking for those in our lives is not always easy. And sometimes we get very passive about the way that we approach things. And so this morning I want to try to give to you hopefully a new challenge as we think to that direction. Romans chapter 2, verse 7 says, "To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life." Would you pray with me, please? Our God and Father, we thank you for your love and all that you give to us this morning, and Father, all in our lives, for we know that everything comes from you. Father, we give you the glory and honor in everything that we do. Father, you alone are worthy. And we pray that you will continue to give to us wisdom and strength and direction in everything, Father, as we long to allow the world around us to see that we belong to you by our love for one another, by our desire to allow the aroma of Christ to be shared with those we come into contact with as we shed your light into the dark world that surrounds us. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We thank you for your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So often we get into things, and one thing I want to mention this morning as we look forward, please remember that while chapters and verses are a blessing to us, it helps us find things, they are not biblical, really. Do you understand what I mean by that statement? They were added much later. It's just a help for us. They mean nothing when it comes to actual biblical study, other than being able to find something. Okay? And I think sometimes as we pick up things, we tend to lose, very simply, our thoughts that are shared through, like the letters to the Romans here. And we get focused on two or three verses and we forget that there are so many thoughts that have to be tied in together. And that's what we want to do this morning, is look at some thoughts that tie us to the Scripture. But before we do that, I want to share with you something. Sometimes I think that fear gets in the way of us doing what we really need to do. You know? One of my favorite actors is Don Knotts. Now, those of you who are older will understand the movie I'm talking about. The younger people have no idea. The Shakiest Gun in the West. You remember that? I love that movie. Then there was another show that he did about a mansion and a ghost. This is one of the first and only times I've really jumped in a movie in all my life was the old black and white movie of Don Knotts, you know. But it serves a purpose sometimes. We stop and look at things, and I've told my boys that if you look at, even in the entertainment industry, there is usually some type of spiritual application to things like that that we see. And I was thinking about Don Knotts, and came to my mind as I studied this lesson this week, because in that movie, The Shakiest Gun in the West, he's a dentist, and he winds up acting like a gunslinger, and he's never proactive, really, through it. Everything happens to him. It's like he's a recipient of the world that is going on around him, and he never gets proactive until the very end. He finally gets a little bit of courage, you know? And moving forward, and I'll never forget, and there's, you know, in some of the old movies, there's Native Americans who are going to come storm the city and destroy the city, and the chief has no teeth. And this gunslinger he's supposed to be, you know, he's really a dentist. He makes a set of teeth for the chief. And it brings peace between the Native Americans and the townspeople, because the chief walks in with his headdress and they're like, how did you do this? How did you talk? And the chief smiles and he's got these giant teeth showing, you know. And it's hilarious. And I love those old movies. But they bring to us some ideas that remind us to step up, take responsibility, move forward. And so this morning, one of the things that I want to give you with this lesson is, first of all, I want you to understand this lesson is not a milk lesson. Those of you who understand the biblical reference, you know exactly what I mean. We're going to get into some meat this morning. This is a concept for those who are moving forward with their Christianity. Romans chapter 2, go back there with me again. Verse 7, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. But for those who are self-seeking, and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Jump over with me to Romans chapter 3, beginning of verse 21. But now righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. I wanted to mention those verses because I wanted us to be very clear that our life lies within the gift of the grace that God gives to us through the redemption that we find in Jesus Christ. And yet He tells us here that we are to be seeking after glory, honor, and immortality. And that those who do will not only find glory and honor, but peace within that. And so I want you to hold on to that thought. We're going to make a little circle here and then we're going to come right back to it. Are you ready? All right, I'm going to chase a rabbit for just a second. I know I'm going to. But we're going to come back to the ideal of why fear stands. I guess I should open my sermon notes, shouldn't I? That probably helped me stay shorter this morning. You should look at me and say, yes, yes, right? Why? This means yes, and this means no. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. I appreciate the affirmation. The affirmation. All right. Thank you, Josh. Matthew chapter 16, turn with me there. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. "Never, Lord," He said, "this shall never happen to you." Then Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it." You see, brethren, sometimes we get in the same boat. As we follow Christ and we're trying to allow His life to be shared through us, sometimes we look at things and it brings us a little bit of fear, just like Peter did. And Jesus is trying to tell him, "Look, Peter, this is what's going to happen to me. This is the end. It's coming. It's very. And Peter says, like, no, Lord, no. Because we have a tendency, we have it in our fear, we have moments where we are self-seeking in everything that we do. We have moments where it's all about us. It's all because that's what I want. That's where I want to go. That's where I want to be. And we lose focus for just a minute of where we're supposed to be headed and what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And that is seeking for opportunities to give glory and honor to Him, not to ourselves. And by doing so, giving glory and honor to God in everything that we come into contact with, in every decision that we make in life, we receive glory and honor from our Father. Not for us, not for our purpose, but so that as we humble ourselves before Him, He will lift us up. That they see through our lives not our honor and glory, but the honor and glory that the Father has working inside of everything that we do. And by that we seek immortality and find peace, because we know that as we walk in the light as He is in the light, that the fellowship that comes with us and the fellowship with our Savior continues to cleanse us and make us whole. And so we are moving ever forward, always knowing, just as He talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, whether it be here on this earth, in the air with Him, or there, the day will come together. The day will come when all of us will get to come together again who put our lives and our walk and our faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we fall. Sometimes we lose focus. Peter, he didn't want Christ to die. He's thinking about himself. He's thinking about an earthly kingdom. He's thinking about the near future, not about the future of mankind. Now, I don't know his exact thoughts, but those in general are the things that affect why we make selfish decisions. We're thinking about now, this moment, tomorrow. We're not thinking about 20 years down the road. All right. John chapter 11. Turn with me there, please. I'm behind on my slides, aren't I? See, there's Matthew 16. John 11. John chapter 11. Beginning in verse 11. And after he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Now you recognize the story, right? Jesus is preaching and he's about his ministry, and they come to him and say, Lazarus, whom you loved, he's dead. And so he begins to talk to his apostles about it. Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. Verse 12 now, his disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for this sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, which we know him better as what? Thomas, what's the term? What? Are doubting. Doubting. Now be careful. This may change your mind about Thomas. Said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Does that sound like the statement of a man that we should call doubting Thomas? See, because he's been reminded that where we're going, they've tried to kill you. They tried to stone you, Jesus. And Thomas steps up, maybe not understanding the entire thing that's going to happen. But he understands that there's a risk here. And he decides immediately, hey, guys, let's follow Christ. Let's follow him to his death. If it means that he's going to die, I'm going to die with him. And I just want to be like him so much. Do you remember what? Even though we call him Doubting Thomas, when he reached in, when he was given the opportunity to touch Christ after his resurrection, what does he say? My Lord and my God. An affirmation that Jesus is his Savior, that within Jesus Christ there is the power that all he needs for life. This is the same man who said, Lord, hey, brothers, let's go with him. Because if he's going to die, let's die with him. And I want so much in my life to be just like Thomas. Janine and I was sharing with young people this morning. I've had the opportunity through life to know a lot of missionaries and people who stepped out. Monty and Melody Huffman, who lost their 4-year-old to spinal meningitis in Brazil because the hospitals thought it was the flu. Nancy Vogt, Todd and Nancy Vogt, who went to the Ivory Coast to a French-speaking country and immersed themselves learning French and teaching the gospel. And as Nancy is walking down the street, the lady she's walking with, a guy comes by on a moped and grabs her purse and flies away with it. And Nancy instinctively steps out into the street to reach for the purse, just narrowly missing it, not realizing that right behind the moped is a city bus. And I'll never forget the day at her funeral, one of the most beautiful coffins I've ever seen, handmade wood, but as is in the custom of the Ivory Coast, they put a piece of plexiglass right over the face so that when you walk up, you look down. And I remember thinking how young, in her 20s at the time, how young and what an incredible loss, and to leave behind her an 18-month-old daughter. And I remember the day that she went to Africa, the Ivory Coast in Africa, how excited that she was, that you could see it almost boiling out from within her, not knowing what was going to happen and where she was going to be led, but understanding that she knew that if it meant that she would give her life, that it was okay with her. And I want so much in my life to be like Thomas, and I want to be like Nancy. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm just like you. There are days in my life where I'm afraid and I feel lost and I can't see where it is that I'm supposed to be going. And there are times and opportunities that I've had in my life when I knew that I was going to be right here in front of a crowd like you. And I remember praying, oh Lord God, why me today? Because fear settled in. And it took a hold of my heart to the point that I didn't know what my next step really needed to be. And I don't want to be someone who just lets things happen to them. I want to stand up and make decisions that allow me to bring glory and honor to God. There was a situation at the courthouse while I was working as a deputy for Tulsa County. And I'll never forget this guy. The pictures are embedded in my mind. And they were in court. And I brought this gentleman up from the jail. He had made a lot of unwise decisions in his life. And his wife is standing there. And she's filed for a protective order against him. And the judge is asking her, why are you afraid of him? Why do you need this protective order? And she says, Your Honor, he's brought drug dealers into our home. He's done this and this and this and this. And I'll never forget, out of the blue, he pops up and he says, Your Honor, I've only brought one drug dealer into our home. I thought, gee, it's done. When we begin to take life passive, right? And I've been guilty of this myself in teaching people that as you walk in the light, as you live your everyday life, every opportunity, give God glory and honor. Being passive in thought. Let it happen. While we need to do that, I want you to understand that Paul is telling the Romans not to do that alone. What he's telling them to do is every step and every moment, don't just allow opportunities come to you. Look, make, strive for the opportunities to give God the glory. Look at every situation with eyes and a heart that says, God, in this situation, how can I give you the glory and honor? How can I lift you up? How can I let men who are surrounding me and women who are surrounding me Know that I belong to you and my life is here to glorify your name. And not be passive. Take control of situations to the best of our ability. And I have to tell you, I haven't always been like that. And there have been times in my life that I've had to look at my sons and say, boys, I'm sorry. Your father should have taken control of that situation and have stopped it. Yesterday afternoon, my boys and I were at the lake and we were fishing and having an enjoyable afternoon. And there was a lady on the other side who had had way too many beers. Probably beginning with the first one, right? But she didn't know what she... And she began to use language that was very uncomfortable to the three of us. And I could see it in my boys' faces. She lost her phone or something. She's screaming these cuss words at the top of her lungs. And I said, all right, boys, let's go. It's time to go. Let's pack up the stuff and go. You know, I don't want to be a passive recipient of the world as it throws things at us. I want to be an active player who is finding opportunities to glorify God before those that I can come into contact with, before those who I have a responsibility of leadership to. I don't want the fear to hold me down. I want to be like Thomas, who said that I'm going to step forward and take control of things. All right, we're running out of time very quickly. We need to cover a few verses. Let's see. Let's skip that one. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, not for him alone, not for him alone, not for him alone. But also for us, to Keith, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He has delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And so we look at life and the way that we face it, and the way that we attack it, and the way that we go after it, and we understand what Christ has done for us. And we understand that when it is hard, when life struggles come after us, that there is hope to be found in those struggles. That we don't have to be passive. That we can step forward, and by giving him the glory and the honor that he is deserving of, that we find hope and strength. And even though the situation looks dire, just like it did to Abraham, he knows that how can he have a future? I have no child, but I'm old, and the end is here. It isn't coming, it's here. And it's the same for my wife. And yet he believed that God was able to overcome the circumstances that looked so dire in his life. And I'm asking you, brethren, this morning, how many times do you look at circumstances in your life and they look so dire and they look like that they're an end and you can't do anything about them? And it's time for us to hit our knees and say, God Almighty, give me the strength to take a hold of this situation. To give you the glory and honor that everything that comes after me. To raise up and not be passive. to be active with my faith, to show you that I love you, not because that anything I can do can earn me my salvation, but because I love you so much I can't help but to move forward in who I am as your child. Because I know that you can make a difference in everything and every situation in my life. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to bring it to a close. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Now, understand, brethren, you see where we're headed here? How are we going to stand up and be active? And here it comes. Here's one of the ways. Galatians 5:22 also connected to this. But this is a good starting place also. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Sounds a lot like the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22 and following, doesn't it? For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, if you possess these qualities in a passive, just here it is kind of measure, right? Is that what he's telling us? Absolutely not. In increasing measure, which is what? Active, not passive, moving forward, always striving to bring these into my life, to make them a part of everything that I am with every breath that God blesses us with. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind. Understand the emotion of that statement, brethren. He is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom, seeking glory and honor and immortality. Do we understand now? Seeking glory and honor and immortality as His children. Welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't want to be something that the world continually forms because I constantly give myself to them to do so. I want to be a man who says, let me follow Christ if it means death. If it means death. And brethren, now we're talking about the opportunity for us to change the world that we live in. To change the world, do you understand? To change the world that we live in. Last example, and then we're going to bring this to a close. Let me do it this way. If you're here this morning and you need us to surround you and pray for you and lift you up, brethren, we're here for you to have the opportunity to confess your sins, to set your life right, or to just clearly find strength that will lift you up and help you in your walk. if you need to be united with Him in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can begin a new life in Christ Jesus. We want to give you that opportunity. Now listen to this. Can one man change the way the world thinks? Can one man upset the world today? Can one man upset the world that we live in today?
Hitler did it.
In a positive way.
Probably not.
One name. If you ever watch any sports at all, guys will get this. Maybe you may have to go home and tell your wife. Or your girlfriend or whatever. Tebow. I don't know where he is in his relationship with Christ, but I do know that he has a love for God and that he has a love for Jesus. Now, whether he really knows Christ, I don't know. But I do know that one man trying to stand for what he believed is right turned a world upside down. It lit the internet on fire with shots of people. Who is this guy? What does he think he's doing? He has no right. And others saying, he has the right. This is America. He has the opportunity. And leave him alone. And for a year, it didn't stop. It became to no end. And I watched on Sundays as one young man, for the last couple of years, as one young man gathered in an end zone and 40, 50, 60 football players in college and in the NFL surrounded him and shared with him in prayer, acknowledging to the world on national television that there is a God and creator of the universe. And I saw a billboard this weekend that made me think of him. We were passing a Church of Christ out of town someplace, and on their billboard it said, "The Big Bang?" question mark. And underneath that it said, "Really?" question mark. Is it sometimes that the world only just needs us to have the courage to stand up and say, "What in the world are you talking about? Really?" I told Janine that this week I'm going to get online and try to change the top of my Facebook page. And I wanted to say, "Evolution?" question mark. "Really?" question mark. Because our God is alive and He is real. And He is the one and only. God, give me the strength to stand and give Him the glory and honor for all of life. Pray with me, and then we're going to stand and sing the invitation song together. God and Father, we thank You for Your love and all that You give to us. Father, we just give glory and honor to You this morning. May we praise Your name in all situations that we find ourselves. Father, help us to turn our hearts to You, to stand, to let Your light shine. Father, use our lives. Allow us to be men and women who are not afraid to say, "My Savior, my God, I will follow You to my death." In Jesus' precious name, we offer this morning. Amen. If we can help you this morning, will you come as we stand and sing together?
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
People rejoice,
oh God. love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises, and your people declare your mighty words. Blessed be the Lord.